Before I started out tonight, I wanted to show you something here. In the lesson tonight, it talks about the law of liberty. And I always wondered about that. I didn't understand fully the whole thing, what law of liberty meant. And this has some connections to different scriptures. And you'll see that tonight when we do the lesson. But I wanted you to take a look at those beforehand. This is James 1:25, which Tom will be reading here in a little bit. We'll have him go ahead and read the first chapter. Probably the next time we'll probably go to chapter 2. This is James 1:25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's in chapter 1 tonight, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So it talks about a perfect law of liberty. And then this shows up also in Galatians 6, 2, and 3, which Tom is teaching on Sundays right now, book of Galatians. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's talking about the same thing. And that's what I wondered on some of these things. Now that you got the verses, you can see that. To the law of Christ. Start talking doctrine. You see, too much doctrine and too legalistic and stuff. But that's part of the Bible. It does say it's a law. And a law, we know you're supposed to follow. So there's a reason on that law. It isn't all liberty. When you get to talking to other religious people, especially denominations, they'll talk about, they want to talk just about the liberty. All you have to do is believe. You know, and everything's optional in that. No, the other things in the law are not optional. Christ expected those to be followed. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What it's talking about there is the old law. They wanted, Jewish people wanted to go back to the old law. They call that bondage. And liberty in Christ, because you make the choice. You're the Christian. You choose whether you're going to be a Christian or not, whether you're going to obey the gospel or not, and if you're going to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. It's all voluntary, your choice. But it is expected. For we know in part, this goes back to, I didn't put that down there, in Corinthians chapter 13, I believe, in this part, in the chapter on love. For we know in part, in other words, the Old Testament, they didn't know about the new Christianity and what was coming. They knew part of it, but they didn't know everything. And we prophesied in part. Again, the men that prophesied didn't know all about what was going to happen. They were just revealed part of it. But when that which is perfect is come, do you see what it's calling that which is perfect? That is the New Testament. So that which is perfect comes, that's the New Testament. Then that which is in part, the Old Testament, shall be done away. So again, telling that the Old Testament is going to be done away. And yet still so many want to cling on to, as they did maybe the circumcision, Ten Commandments. Those were to be done away. And that happened with Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection. But I wanted to show you those verses. That will be in the lesson tonight. So, and also being a hearer of the word isn't enough. You have to be a doer. So, Tom, do you want to go ahead and get started? And I'll get this over on the lesson while you're reading.
James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and unbraideth not. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perish. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and come down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
Hello, welcome back to the study. Now, we had made it down through verse 21, and so we're going to start at verse 21. There's some more things we need to say about that, but we're really in the same subject area that we were talking about last time, and that is that James is pointing them back towards God's Word, and how they receive God's Word and have respect for God's Word. And so he's going to continue that idea and try to point them back to the Scriptures. That's always the solution, isn't it? If we'd look to God's Word and follow it, obey it, apply it to our lives, that will solve the problems that we face in this life. And so let's look at the verses 21 through 24, and then we'll make some comments concerning those passages. Verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. All right, let's pause there. Look at verse 21. We talked about this, laying aside all filthiness. It's almost like taking off a filthy garment, a stained, soiled garment, and putting it aside, saying we don't want any part of that. So we lay aside all filthiness, and he says an overflow of wickedness. And there that evil that is within this world that we all have to face, the difficulties of that wickedness. So once we've put that aside, what does it say? He says, receive with meekness the implanted word. Key passage here. How we receive God's word. Are we receiving it with meekness as we should? So the phrase here, we should be thinking about pleasing God, and also understanding an attitude of heart that we should have. Meekness is often defined as mildness of disposition or gentleness, but we shouldn't think of the word as meaning weakness. Meekness is not a weakness. As a matter of fact, the Greek word that is used here for meekness was a word that was used when bringing a wild horse under control with the use of a bridle. Now, was it the fact that that horse was weak? No, that horse was very powerful, but it was brought under control. Jesus Christ was very meek, but was he powerful? Oh, absolutely. All power was given unto him. And so being that source of power, that deity under control, can be described as meekness. We actually show meekness when we submit to the instructions of the Word. You see, we're submitting to God's will, and we're not saying, I have to have it my will, I have to have my way. And it has to be done the way I want it to be done. And so it takes meekness to submit, but that does not mean that we are without power. We are to receive and to accept God's Word, show approval for God's Word, and live it in our lives. You know, have you ever seen that phrase that some people will say? They'll say, well, God's Word says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, I understand their notion there, but actually it would be more accurate to say, God's Word says it, and that settles it. Whether I believe it or not does not matter. It's still God's Word. It is still the truth. And so once God's Word is spoken, it is settled. That matter is settled. It matters not whether we believe it or not. Psalm 119, verse 89. And so a person who is teachable, they will receive the instruction with that right attitude, and they will take it to heart, and they will see it as it truly is, that it is God's Word, even when perhaps it is difficult in their lives, even if it challenges them, even if it caused them to reevaluate some of the things that they are doing in this life, they will still accept it and receive it with that proper attitude and understand it's God's Word. It's right. I'm not living up to that. I need to change. You can't change God's Word. So you're the one that needs to change and make your adjustment and make your life be aligned with God's Word. And so to receive with meekness, it says the implanted word. And notice that phrase, implanted word. And the idea is that the truth becomes infused or engrafted into our hearts and our minds. The essence or truth of God's word, it should root itself into our very hearts. Matthew 13 and verse 21. This means that we're not born with it. In Matthew 13 and verse 21, you know, the sower went out to sow the seed because the seed wasn't there yet. Well, in the same way, we don't have God's Word until we hear it or read it or is told to us in some way. Then we have God's Word, and we have to make sure that we receive it with the proper way, with meekness, and understand that that's what's going to save us. And so the implanted word. You know, a farmer who puts out just a tiny amount of seed on an acre of land does not have much of a chance to reap a great crop. But that farmer who puts out an abundance of seed throughout that acre has more of an opportunity. Well, in the same way, how are we doing with the implanted word? Do we have enough seed in our lives? Are we studying enough the way that we should? We shouldn't expect to be spiritually strong if we're not sowing any seed. If we don't have God's word in our lives, if we're not studying, if we're not reading, how are we supposed to grow? How are we supposed to mature? So we're bound to be weak spiritually if we don't have that access to that implanted word. And notice the result, that implanted word, when it is believed and obeyed and followed, it's able to save your souls. Any conversion that takes place apart from the word, it's not a true conversion. And those would say, well, I just feel like I've been converted. Well, what are you basing that on? The conversion that takes place, the true conversion that we read about in the scriptures, is a result of God's word being implanted in our hearts and becoming a part of us through our obedience and following that word. So as Christians, we have to make sure that we continue to follow that word. If the word of God is going to judge us, and it is, John 12:48-50, then we need to know what it says. That's going to be the standard. It's not going to be by our own feelings, our own thoughts. We're going to be judged by God's word. You know, in Romans 1 and verse 16, I want you to look at this verse. Romans 1 and verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." You see, it is the gospel, that good news that has that power of salvation. There is that word first preached and proclaimed by the apostles, but we continue to learn it today through the inspired word. And so we can know what we need to do in order to be saved, in order to have that forgiveness of sins and salvation and a home in heaven with our God. It's all about how we receive that word with the right attitude and respond to it in the proper way. Look at verse 22. It says, "But be doers of the word." You think about being a doer of something, it's talking about action. It's talking about a response, that here's the word, here's the instruction that comes to us. Well, how do we respond? Do we take any action because of that word? Now, of course, James is writing to Christians here, but this applies to all, that all need to understand that God's word is out there and their eternity will be determined by how they respond to it. Are they going to be a doer of the word? You know, Jesus hates the hypocrisy of those who say and do not, Matthew 23 and verse 3. Well, what about those who hear and do not? How horrible is that for those people who hear God's word, hear the instruction, but then don't do it? They don't respond. They say, "I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to change my life." And how horrible is that? So he says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Those who hear or read or study the perfect law of liberty, but then do nothing about it, well, they don't receive any benefit from it. In order to get the benefit, one has to respond. And those who are doers of the word are not hearers only. Those who are hearers only, what about those people? It says they are deceiving themselves. Now, this is the second time that James returns to that idea of self-deception and that danger that is caused by that, that we can think everything is all right when really it is not. We deceive ourselves into thinking that we're in good standing before God when in fact we are not, because we've heard God's word and we haven't done anything about it. Christians have to be concerned about that danger as well. You might be in one of those congregations where everyone talks about, oh, how great the preacher is. His lessons are so wonderful. Well, are you changing your life because of that? Or are you just impressed with his abilities? It's great that he's a good preacher. It's wonderful that he has those good lessons. But until it affects your life, until you make changes and you are more closely living according to the scriptures, then you're not really getting the benefit of the good work that he is doing. And so you're just deceiving yourself. And this way many are neglecting to truly obey God's word, and their religion is vain. It is empty and is useless because they are not putting into practice the things that they are learning. Difficulties always abound when we deceive ourselves, when we try to think that everything is okay, when in fact it is not. Look at verse 23. It says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer," so here's somebody who is listening to God's word, they hear it, they know what the teaching is, but they're not responding to it, they're not obeying it. He says it's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. And so here James begins this illustration about somebody who is looking in a mirror and seeing himself and seeing corrections that need to be made. It's like when you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and maybe your hair is all messed up, you need to brush your teeth, you need to shave, and you look at that in the mirror, but then you don't do anything about it. That mirror is not really benefiting you if you're not making use of it in a responsive way to say, okay, I see what's lacking, I see the changes that need to take place, but I'm not going to do it. Well, why look in the mirror if you're not going to take the message that you receive from that mirror to make the changes that are truly necessary? He says in verse 24, "For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." Well, God's word is like a mirror. That we look to God's word and we can see the wrong in our lives because we say, okay, I don't measure up to this. I'm looking at the perfect law of liberty and I'm seeing things therein where I'm falling short in some ways. Well, what good would it do to see that and understand that about God's word, but then not make any changes in our lives? What good would the word be doing us? There would be no benefit to that. And so it's being a forgetful hearer, someone who is looking into it, hearing the truth and seeing the truth in that mirror of God's word, but then not making any changes. You know, it's just foolish, really, to not do anything about the problems that are seen. And yet that happens all the time. People in our day who don't make the necessary adjustments to their lives. And it seems like they don't understand. They say, I don't know why my life is so horrible and I have all these problems going on. Well, are you following God's word? Are you looking to what it's teaching? And are you addressing your life to that and making sure you are aligned to the truth? And they say, well, no. Well, of course there's going to be problems. Whenever we are neglectful concerning God's word and what it teaches, we're just bringing more and more problems into our lives. And so God's word is there to help us, to instruct us, and to teach us to have the best life possible. And so let us look to God's word and let us not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. Let's take action and make those changes that are necessary. And let's look at 25 through 27. He says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." All right, look at verse 25. It says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty." Now, that's just another way of saying God's word. When you're saying the perfect law of liberty, that is the law of Christ, 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 21. Galatians 6 and verse 2, Now, the law of Moses is never called the perfect law of liberty. It is the law of Christ, the law that we are under today. We are not under the law of Moses. We are not called upon to make animal sacrifices today. That is not the law that we are under. We are under the law of Christ, referred to here as the law of liberty. It's the same as that which is perfect that we read about in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 10. Let's look at that verse because I want you to see something there. Notice 1 Corinthians 13, starting with verse 8. Paul writes, "Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, and that's miraculous knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away." And notice it's making that connection between that which is perfect or complete and that which is partial. So in the first century, as they had that partial revelation, the miraculous means whereby those who were inspired could teach people God's word. Well, now what do we have? We have that which is perfect, the complete revelation of God's word in our New Testament today. And so Christians have the guidelines to follow. Again, we're talking about going and looking at God's law, God's word, the perfect law of liberty, and following it. Now that which is in part, that which is partial, whether we're talking about the prophecies, the inspired teachings, those have been done away. Those have ceased. Now we have that which is better. Back in the first century, they only had partial revelation. Well, now it's been completed. We have all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so as we closely examine or study the scriptures, then we have the complete will of God and we can see what is wrong in our lives and the adjustments that need to be made. And so the idea of law in relationship to this new covenant that we have in Christ can be seen in the manner in which the law of Christ brings liberty. And you think about that phrase, the law of liberty. That's actually a paradox in a way. Now, a paradox means something that seems like a contradiction, but in fact it is not. The law of liberty. And one can truly understand the gospel of Christ only when he understands that paradox of the law of liberty. There can be no true liberty without law. Is that freedom if it's complete lawlessness? No, that's chaos. You can go to some countries where there is no law and things are completely out of control. That's not liberty. That's not freedom. That is chaos. Well, in the gospel, in the law of Christ, there is liberty. Liberty, freedom from sin, liberty in the fact that we have freedom with Christ. And it does not mean no law. And some people see this phrase and they completely misunderstand it. They say the law of liberty. I'll say in Christ, all we have is liberty. We don't have law. We don't have to follow a law. We just have liberty. Well, wait, you've forgotten the phrase. It is the law. It is the law of liberty. And a matter of fact, when we look at the book of James, time and time again, it is expressing that there is a law that has to be followed. There are those instructions that cannot be ignored. For example, if one shows partiality and is without pity for the poor, he sins, James 2 and verse 9, and he will be judged without mercy, James 2 and verse 13.
I'm going to stop it there. We'll get started later on that. It is supposed to snow tonight for Logan. I got a warning on the phone about that, so Sunday was quite a ride home, so that way maybe we can get home before the snow starts, if it starts here. If it's Logan gets snow at 8 o'clock, we should get some, I would think, about 9, if it comes up the way I think it's going to. So I'm going to stop it there. If you'll read on over to chapter 1, verse 26, that's where the next lesson will stop. We've got all of it, but about 5 minutes in there. So it continues this same thing that he's talking about. I hope, Tom, we don't get too much snow and there's no school.
102. Invitation song will be 416. 416. 102. In vain, in high and holy lays, my soul her grateful voice would raise. For who can sing the worthy praise of the wonderful love of Jesus? Wonderful love, wonderful love, wonderful love of Jesus. Wonderful love, wonderful love, wonderful love of Jesus. A joy by day, a peace by night, in storms a calm, in darkness light. In pain, a balm, in weakness might, is the wonderful love of Jesus. Wonderful love, wonderful love, wonderful love of Jesus. Wonderful love, wonderful love, wonderful love of Jesus. My hope for pardon when I call, my trust for lifting when I fall. In life, in death, my all in all is the wonderful love of Jesus. Wonderful love, wonderful love, wonderful love of Jesus. Wonderful love, wonderful love, wonderful love of Jesus.
Dear God in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to come together, study your word, and sing these songs unto you. God, we thank you for our lesson tonight, the book of James. Help us to take what we learn in our lesson and apply it to our lives, that not only are we hearers of your words, but doers. God, please be with us during the rest of our service here tonight. And all these things we ask you in Jesus' name, amen.
416. There's everyone here tonight who needs to be baptized in the Christ. Good opportunity. Or need to come back to God and know we've done things wrong in our life and want to make it right. We can do that at home or anytime. Ask God to forgive us. But if it's maybe brought approach upon the church or publicly, it's a good time to do that. The book of James, we've been studying it, a lot of it's a perfect law of liberty. You know, if that law of liberty is perfect, as God's word says, how's come people wants to change it? Or try to. They can't, but they try. And then it says, be doers of the word, not just hearers. So if you're here tonight and want to be baptized in water for forgiveness of sin, you want to go to heaven, it's time to do that or come back to God. If you need prayers, let's please stand and sing 416. 416. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
I'm going to update on Dave. I've got a text from Rosa on this that he will have surgery and have a new valve put in his heart in 2 or 3 months. So we're going to keep him in our prayers. That'll be a serious surgery. And I know Dave's had two heart surgeries, so hopefully this one will be done without open heart on it. So that's, I'm going to pray for that. And he's having shortness of breath, so he'd like to be coming to church with shortness of breath, and he should be trying to get his energy and strength back, I'm sure, for the operation. So keep him in mind. Then you had the text today on Rosemary fell on the ice and got all bruised up. She says that didn't find any broken bones, so that's good that way. But she's going through quite a bit as well. Let's see. Anything else that needs to be announced that's coming up right away that I haven't noticed here? Got anything, Holly, or anyone else? Anyone know anything? Ernie?
Remember the Yelmas family, their final loss.
Right. What about Bonnie? We haven't seen her for a while. Anyone know anything about her? Yeah, I'm hearing from the emergency rooms and that doctor's offices, there's a lot of flu right now, real bad, and some COVID here in a few cases. I think the flu is a larger number right now, but COVID as well.
Heather has a respiratory infection, her sinuses, so pray for her.
That's Heather. Okay. Anything else? If not, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come thanking thee for the many blessings of this day and the privilege we have of coming here and studying thy divine word. We pray, Father, that we would learn that we not only hear your word, but we put it into action, that we try to live for thee each day of our lives. Help us to grow and improve in the things that we do and forgive us of our sins. We pray now that you'd watch over everyone, that they might be able to get safely home. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.